Coming up on TMS, making sense of drive-by yellings.
The Vikings are coming!
Password is no longer the most popular password.
JJ confirms we'll have a little bit of the Jesse Plemons in Star Wars.
Oh boy, hope it's not like his character in Breaking Bad. Madonna is not a racist.
Rodman had a little too much to drink in North Korea.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We don't all own oil wells, you know. That's why I'm a Westerner. I shop at Western Beef and Farmers Market. It's like an oasis on Metropolitan Avenue. A huge supermarket, a big flea market, all in one location. And what prices? Listen.
This week, get USDA choice shells of beef, custom cut to order for only $1.48 a pound.
So join the caravan to Western Beef and Farmers Market, Metropolitan Avenue, Ridgewood, Queens.
I bet you say that to all the GE soft white bulbs.
The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, the fresh snacks with a snack in the middle.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Oh my gosh, it's Tuesday.
You made it through another Monday.
I'm sore this morning. I told you before we got on here that I just worked out a little too hard. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good sore, you know? It's like a...
Yeah. It's an accomplished sore.
Yeah. Don't you hate that, though? It's like a dry... It's a dry heat. At least it's a dry heat.
Right.
I hate those phrases.
But, you know, it is a sore that comes from doing something good, as opposed to, oh, yeah, sat on the couch all day. I don't know. My back is just killing me.
Mm-hmm. Ate more of those amazing cookies all night.
Those were damn good cookies. Those are damn good. I still have a whole box full left.
I ate three, which is what prompted me to... To work out a little harder.
Did you do one of each? Did you do like a hand, a communicator, and another Picard?
I did. And the way I did it was I had the communicator I put on my chest like an idiot, and then I ate it. Right?
Nice.
And then the heart-shaped Picard chest, I took the hand and whacked it first like I needed to contact somebody on his little communicator he's wearing. So then I ate the hand, and then I ate the uniform last. But not before That's I didn't awesome. Turn the uniform over like you can do. Let's see.
Right, and turn
it over and go, it's like Picard butt. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Picard ass.
Picard and, butt.
Anyway, those are amazing. And
there are two cheeks.
I hope there's not four. Come on now.
No.
Or five.
Well, I guess actually there would be four.
Would there be four?
There are four cheeks.
Oh, he's got two on his face. Those are becoming jowls, though. Those are jowls now.
Little lobster jowls.
Picard jowls. So anyway, that prompted me to have something on because it was all treadmill and weights and sit-ups and push-ups and stuff like that. And I watched the first and second episode of a show I think aired on the History Channel. I'm not 100% sure actually what the network of origin is, but I watched it on the... Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Okay. It's Vikings there on the History Channel, I think. And I watched the first two episodes via Amazon Prime streaming. Thing on the PS4. And that's a really good show. That's a lot of fun and totally worth watching. I think people should check it out. If you like any like historical drama, fantasy kind of mashup-y stuff, like if you like Game of Thrones, if you enjoyed The Tudors, which was a little more straight-up history, but they had some fun with it. I mean, certainly King Henry VIII wasn't a hot, slim dude in his day. He was a big, fat loser. But in this, you know, he's a kind of a good-looking man. But this thing is a little bit of a mix. There's some elements of fantasy in there, kind of thrown in, kind of, we are going to Valhalla, and that kind of crap, and Thor's wrath is upon us, and all this sort of stuff. But it's also, like, straight-up Viking tales, and it's based on a real dude who conquered a bunch of stuff and became the king of the Vikings for a while.
Now, does this whole thing takes place in Minnesota? Is
yeah,
that
the
right?
whole thing is in Minnesota, and they do not like the cheeseheads, so... Watch out for that.
I probably would watch it if it was on HBO. There's something, you know, I just feel like something like this on the History Channel feels like it's going to be tamer than it than it should be.
They've impressed me. Yes, but they've impressed me two times. So the first time that History Channel, because they used to never impress me. Because here's the History Channel. Hitler was a bad man. Let's spend an hour talking about it, right? That was that channel for me before. Right. But then they started airing some cool things. Hadfields and McCoys is awesome.
Yes.
Right. And that's a pretty hard edge piece of business, that.
Yeah,
thing.
It was. Yeah, that's true. Couldn't have any nudity in it. Hatfield on McCoy, on McCoy nudity. Actually, it might have been more like Hatfield on Hatfield nudity. Yeah. Is probably what it would have been.
Probably. That's a good point. But they, you know, had its, it certainly was, you know, it didn't feel like a reserved piece of historical fiction or historical nonfiction. Yes. This is like that. It's very hard edged, rather bloody. I'd put it on par with like the overall kind of tone of Game of Thrones without the nudity. That's really the only difference I'm seeing here. It's gritty. It's dark. It's cool. It's realistic. It's good. I'm totally impressed. I mean, if you would have told me AMC, come to me in 2002, Brian, walk up to me and say, hey, American Movie Channel or American Movie Classics, that's going to be the home of some of the greatest television ever devised.
Here are the channels you're going to be watching a lot of. AMC, FX and the
History Channel. I wouldn't have believed you. I would have said, you're smoking the crack.
Right.
And I feel like this is their attempt to do that, and I'm all for it. I think original programming is always a good thing. And it's good. I recommend people watch it. You're not the first one to make the Vikings reference. So yesterday, friend of the program, Dan Benjamin of the 5x5 Network, tweeted the following. Hold on. I got to find it because it's kind of funny. I thought I had it up. Benjamin. Wait, how do you spell Benjamin?
Ben. Uh-huh. Jam. In.
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
All right. Got it. So he says to me, not to spoil it for you, but they ended their season 5-10-1, fourth in the NFC Northern Division. So, you know, lots of people with the Vikings jokes,
yes,
as we went on yesterday, but good times nonetheless. Anyway, it's good and I really recommend it. I think you ought to be checking it out and see what you think, Brian. Don't take my word for it. Yeah.
I have 5 seasons of Deep Space Nine to go through.
Yeah,
still.
You have work to do. Don't worry.
I'm just almost at the very end of season 2, so I know that I'm right on the cusp.
Oh, you're on the cusp of shaved head, Sisko.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
And Worf shows up soon.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he starts getting it on with the Lizard Neck. What's her name?
Lizard Neck.
Freaking Dax.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're
spoiler.
They're a love interest. There is an episode where he is in swimming trunks and she is in a bikini.
Well, that's really got to bum Bashir out.
Yeah, Bashir, he freaking hates it. Yeah. And that's another sad. He's a sad tale. Because that guy, I think Bashir is one of the worst characters in the history of Star Trek. He drives me crazy.
Really?
I don't think he's good.
Because of his whole, you know, constant talking and...
And whining and just...
uppity arrogance.
Yeah, and he's just kind of what do we have here? And the only cool thing about him was that his dad on the show was Abu from that Seinfeld episode where Jerry's a very bad man, very bad man.
Really?
Yeah.
He hasn't shown up yet, but I can't wait for that.
Yeah, him and his mom show up like on a Skype call, basically, is what it is.
Nice. Oh, God. So
like a remote.
Like Raj on Big Bang Theory. Theory.
Yes. Yes.
Might even be the same actor.
That may be
now
the same
think
actor.
About it.
That may be the same guy, actually. So anyway, what was my point? My point was it starts getting real good in season, the end of that season. So you're in for it. It's going to be good.
Cool.
Oh, no, I know what I was going to say. That actor who plays Bashir is really good in all else that he does.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Kingdom of Heaven, we just saw him in. And it's amazing the transformation, the character transformation.
Yep. Agreed. Man, what a good movie that is.
That is a really
good movie. I told
you,
didn't I? Director's cut. Don't watch the theatrical, people. We're warning you.
I didn't see the other one, but still, it's...
Director's cut is perhaps the finest, at least some of the finest work that Ridley Scott has ever produced.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a thing. All right. I got a story to tell you. You're going to love this.
All right.
I'm in the car yesterday.
Yes.
Running some errands, they call them. That's the word they use. The people would use the word errands for things they have to go do. And I'm running around with this car of mine, this little Ford Fiesta, who, by the way, highly recommend that little thing. It was cheap enough to pay for it quick. It was it's got all the amenities you need. It's small and has great gas mileage. It never breaks down. I think Ford has got it going on right now. Anyway, that's not why I'm telling you this story. It's not an endorsement of a Ford Motor product. So I'm driving around in my car, and I get to a light. And this is a light before you get onto the main road that takes you back to the house. And I had to hurry up and get back here because I had some meetings and phone stuff to do. So I'm in the car. I pull up to this light. I'm waiting like usual. Guy on the other side of the lane from me, kind of far from me, probably a good, you could put another car between us, mm-hmm. but there's not one.
Okay.
Is going beep, 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 like that.
Right.
And I look over thinking, well, what's his problem? He's looking at me. His window is down. It's cold out. He's looking at me out of his window, and he's making the motion to roll my window down.
Uh-oh. God, this is never good.
Even though it's just a button now. It's not your arm doing this anymore.
Right, right, exactly. No kidding. We still have to use that gesture, though, because if we we give the push button gesture, no one will have any idea what the heck
nobody knows what that is. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
That's fantastic.
I think we keep that. We have to keep that as the universal thing, right? To do that. I think we have to, but
there's going to be a whole generation that has no idea what that means.
Yeah. Well, I still don't know what this guy meant, because this is what happens. He rolls down the window, and I go, oh, he's honking at me. And he's still kind of laying on it. Me. So I roll down my window, and I stick my head out, kind of like with my ear out, like, what's up, you know? And he goes, fart gas! And I went, I'm sorry? Fart gas! And he kept saying, the best I can tell, fart gas.
Fart gas.
At the top of his lungs, and looked really frustrated at me. Like, fart gas!
Was he alone in the car?
Yes.
Okay, so he wasn't there. So it wasn't like a, you know, kid trying to impress his friends and be funny.
No. No, it was a guy. It was probably a guy in his, I want to say he was in his probably his 50s. And he's yelling, fart gas! And he was more frustrated every time. I was like, I don't know what, and I said, I don't know what you're saying. And it's kind of loud out there. I couldn't, you know, I thought maybe I was just mishearing him. And he's exasperated. He holds onto the edge of his window and goes, fart gas! And I went, I shrugged and went, I don't know, man. And I rolled up the window.
Okay.
Now he's pissed. And he's kind of thrashing around the car, and he's banging on his thing, going, meh, 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 and looking at me still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Fart gas. Great. That's great. Fart gas. I don't know was what there, I don't
did
know what
you maybe
want.
Have any sort of interaction with him before? Like, was, you know, were you just hearing part of, you know, effing A?
Well, that's what I wondered. I wondered, is he yelling at me because I did something? I cut him off.
He cut him off, right? And he's like, effing, hole.
Maybe, but the way he was re-enunciating fart gas over and over made it seem like I was supposed to hear that.
And he wasn't saying it angry.
And not at first.
Oh my God, what was he? Maybe he was saying frog pants. Maybe he recognized you.
Oh, maybe it was frog pants. But why would he be so mad? Like, at the end of it, he was just like so frustrated. He was never smiling, like, hey, how's it going? Any of that. It was always just like something bad's going on. And for a while, I'm like, what's wrong with my car? There's some flame coming out of the back, or there's some terrible wheel half off, or, you know, something's going on, because I may not understand what fart gas is, but this can't, whatever it is, it can't be good.
Oh, see, yeah, and now the tadpole is saying, yeah, they think that Tondagasa is saying, yeah, maybe he was saying frog pants.
Oh, maybe he was. But why would he be so mad about it at the end?
Because he's frustrated that you're not understanding the name of your company that he's yelling.
But then that's the worst kind of fan. I don't want that fan. who first of all, enunciates frog pants as fart
now
gas.
Now I'm angry that you don't know what I'm saying.
I'm so mad at you.
I'm a big fan of your show.
I'm going to unsubscribe, block. Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but I finally pulled away. He turned the other direction, and that was the end of it. And I spent probably 15 minutes walking around my car trying to make sure everything was okay.
Like, making sure that you didn't have like a fart gas.
Fart gas in the car. I still That's don't. Hilarious. And it felt like also it felt so redundant. The term fart gas is just such a it's like wet rain, you know. Anyway, it was an odd experience, and I don't quite know what to make of it. So I tell these stories here because I want, this is when the listeners at home and the tadpole can kick in and tell me what the hell happened there.
Yes. And hopefully it's somebody who's actually a fan and was saying, they're going to email and say, yeah, I was saying frog pants. You didn't recognize me. We, you know, met you at Nerdtacular. You're a really cool guy.
But he was so mad. He was pounding his wheel and like, it was mad. Like, I can't imagine this. That's why it didn't occur to me that it might be frog pants, I think.
Right. Yes. Because he would be like smiling, going, hey, you're Scott Johnson.
Yeah.
Frog pants.
How's it going? Yeah. I'm a big fan, but I think I could have heard big fan or love the show though, or something other than fart gas.
Yes. It was Irony Man. He just rage quit.
Someone just registered. It was fartgas.com taken, I wonder. Let's find out. Fart. This may not be a site I want to see.
While you're doing that, I will confirm that the same actor who played Babu also played Dr. Bashir's dad and Dr. Kuthrapali on The Big Bang Theory.
There you go. Hey, and we need an Indian guy. Call that
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Would you like to know his name? Brian George.
Oh, my gosh. How depressing is that? He's probably American and was raised here, wasn't he?
He was born in Jerusalem to Jewish parents. But they immigrated to Israel from India.
How young was he? He lived in Israel then.
1952 he was born, yeah.
Okay, fine.
He also was the voice of the Parasite for Justice League. He was a teacher at Gymboree in the mid to late 1980s.
A teacher at Gymboree?
Yes.
What is that? What is that? Is that a thing?
Gymboree. Yeah, it's like you drop off the kids, the toddlers at Gymboree, and then go get on with your day. And they play with parachutes and beach balls and dance around to Katrina and the Waves.
Well, I figured this was, but you can teach there?
Well, I mean, if you're an adult who works there, I assume you're just a teacher.
Okay. Yeah. What a weird thing to have on your resume.
Yeah, it's on his, and it's not just on his resume. It's on his IMDb profile.
For the Kuthrapali dad.
Yes, weird. I worked at Gymboree.
Very bad place, very bad.
And he almost always has a Pakistani accent in his roles, but his real voice is actually affected with a posh British accent.
Ah, so then he probably spent time in London or something when he was young.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right.
Yep, exactly. When he was a year old, the family immigrated to London.
Who knew that was going to come up?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to move on from fart gas to gas fart. That is to call Daryl see what he's got going on in his life. So here you go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brung to you by...
Two guys, two assignments. Join Matt and Frank each week as they dive into the depths of geeky pop culture, challenging each other to the best or worst in comics, games, TV, and movies. Listen in as they defend why they love it or want to kill it with fire each week on Battle Geeks. Check us out over at battlegeeks.com. That's Battle Geeks with a Z.
Oh, wonderful. You punctuated that with nose sounds from Daryl. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. We had a good... come out of you there. That was nice. I liked it. Enjoyed it.
Somebody in the tadpole pointed out that since Brian George is a Jewish Indian, he pretty much can't eat anything.
Well, no, he can eat cows, right?
Right.
Hindi thing.
No pork, no cows.
No pork, no cow. He can just eat big buckets of curry. That's it.
That's exactly right.
Big buckets of curry. That'll give you grumpy butt for sure. All right. So, fart gas. Daryl, let's get on with this. Let's do this thing. Daryl is he's the Trek nerd. Daryl, do you have a theory about fart gas, man? Do you know what he was? Do you think he was saying frog pants? Do you think he was saying something else?
I don't know. I can't even guess.
That's the problem I had. I felt like the world was coming to an end, to be honest with you. Like, what is this? This has to be a sign of the apocalypse. Freaking death, war, and pestilence are going to pop up out of the backseat of that guy's car and kill us all. It was all very strange. Daryl is the Trek nerd, and he does Star Trek questions here on the show. Star Trek trivia questions, we might call them. You might call them
trivia.
And what's
awesome is I'm hearing Trek nerd in stereo, too. This is awesome.
How's that working?
Huh? What?
I'm hearing him in stereo.
Gotcha. From yesterday's Twitter.
Yes, there was a big discussion over Twitter about the stereo versus mono and podcasts.
Yeah, that was fun. It flooded Twitter for about 20 minutes. Yeah. The bottom line was mono is good and stereo is fine, but neither one are much bigger. You're both the same size. That's what we like.
Yeah, an MP3 really is mono unless it needs to be stereo.
Right. Right. Exactly, because it doesn't.
It's a smart file. I'm impressed.
Yeah, look at that. Go look it up, everyone. Look up MP3s. Look at the origin. Look at the background.
I didn't know that.
There's a reason it stuck around. There's a reason it prevailed, and to this day, since 1998 or whenever the hell it popped up in the popular culture.
Brilliant.
Brilliant indeed, Daryl. It's time for Trek Nerd Time. Here's your question. It's a Next Generation related one. I know you like the Next Generation, the TNG, the kids call it.
Mm-hmm.
In the Next Generation episode, in theory, Data starts dating Jenna DeSora. At one point, she kisses him on the torpedo bay. In the torpedo bay. Sorry. In. I said on. I meant in. After the, after
Did
this
like
day.
Did I kiss on the veranda? Oh, no. The lips will be fine.
After this, Data is seen in 10 forward. Guinan tells him about a new drink she found out about while visiting Prackle 2. Prackle 2? Jeez. Sounds like a cereal. She makes one for Data. She lists the ingredients. She says it is 87% Saurian brandy and the rest being targ milk and one other thing. What other ingredient does Data say is in the drink? Here are your choices. A, Denevian mead. B, Carvino juice. Yo, Carvino.
It's made from fresh Carvino.
Yeah. You want me? I should rub them out.
Paul Carvino and Mira Carvino.
Mm-hmm.
And-
oh, yeah. Dude, Paul was good. I forgot Paul was in the Goodfellas there.
That's right.
He was good in there. Tragel nectar or D, Ryzen wine. Like the Risa planet. They have their own wine, I guess. Pleasure mm-hmm. planet wine.
Not Ryzen.
Right. You're not Ryzen wine. No. Don't drink that. Don't drink the Ryzen wine. So that's, again, Denevian mead, Carvino juice, Tragel nectar, or Ryzen wine. Or Ryzen wine. Excuse me. Raisin wine's not good for you either. Give you the runny butt. Daryl, while you ponder and think on said thing, we're not going to eat today, but we are going to thank, once again, the cookie people, the cookie lady, the Tracy, for these amazing freaking cookies. We have a whole new box. Apparently, I'll probably get today. Brian got his yesterday. You'll probably get yours, Daryl, soon enough.
A whole new box.
With all kinds of crap that'll make you sick if you eat it all. So we're watching for that. But in the meantime, we do birthdays on this show for Star Trek Illuminaries. Who's celebrating one today?
Why, that would be Ruben Leder, who is 64 today. He wrote the TNG fifth season episode, The Perfect Mate, with Michael Piller.
Mm. Ruben Leder? Yeah? Is he, am I jesting, or is he from the Netherlands?
I don't know.
All right. Sounds good. Wait, who do you play again?
He was a writer.
Oh. Well, never mind. That's boring. I don't care about those
guys. That's all we have. We have boring people today.
What's he famous for writing?
What
any episodes?
Crappy birthdays today.
Yeah. Any episodes I would go, oh, yeah, that one. I like that one, or anything.
Well, looks like just this one, The Perfect Mate.
Damn it. I don't remember that one at all. Well, good. Well, happy birthday to him. May all his Christmases be white. Okay, Daryl, let's get to your back to your question here. I want you to deliberate hard on this one about what was the other ingredient in this. See, it was 87%. That would be how many percent is left? That'd be it's almost 10. So that's what, 12, 13%? Right? 13. Yeah, 13% of what drink? Or what other ingredient? And is it Devian and Neenan? Denevian mead, Carvino juice, Tragel nectar, or rice and wine?
I don't remember this drink at all.
Me neither. Huh. I don't remember this episode. I don't remember him kissing anybody on the hangar deck or the torpedo bay.
Yeah. It's something about marriage or something. I don't exactly remember it either.
Wasn't there a Star Trek thing about marriage something?
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't like there that. A Breakfast Tiffany song by Deep Blue something?
Hey, is that song that goes, what about Breakfast at Tiffany? So I said, okay.
Yeah.
I have a great little story, parenting story about that song.
Okay.
This is how when my kids were little, they were probably, I don't know, 0 to 6 or something. It's when that song came out. Or actually, a song came out before that, but it was kind of still popular and being on the radio all the time. This was one of the great ways I could get my kids to chill out in the car. So if they were being rowdy in the car, picking on each other, throwing stuff around or complaining or whatever, you put that song on, put a CD in or something, play that song. They would all immediately stop what they were doing and sing along with it the entire time.
Really?
So I said, what about breakfast
really?
At Tiffany's?
Oh, that's awesome.
And they loved the part at the end where you went, remember the film? And I said, well, that's one thing we've got. And then they would go, it was great. That song,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that song ruled the car, man.
Wow.
Yeah, big memories for that one. And they still do it. We'll still like be sitting around. Now they're, 13, 16, and 19. at the dinner table and that song gets brought up or talked about and they'll all start singing it.
Aww,
it's great.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little, maybe one day we'll do a request of a cover of that song or something.
Yeah, right. There we go.
All right, Daryl. My silly story notwithstanding. You're still thinking about this hard question. I can just feel it. I can feel it.
Well, we've got Sarian Brandy and Milk in there already. Yeah. What else do we have in there already?
Hold on.
Isn't there a...
Ah, why are you playing? Sorry. you have also got... What did she say? Oh, she says it's 87% Sarian Brandy, and the rest is Targ Milk and one other thing.
Ah.
I don't know what a Targ is.
It's got nipples.
Fart gas.
It's like a pig.
Oh, it's a pig. Like a
sounds like
a Warcraft pig, like you'd kill. Yeah. Right. You need to kill 10 targs and bring me their pelts.
Right. Yeah. Go milk 10 targs.
Yeah.
They've got nipples, Greg.
Go milk a targ. That's a good insult. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we've already got an alcohol type thing in there, so I don't think you would want to have more of that. So I'm going to cross out mead and wine.
Okay.
Which leaves juice and nectar. And juice sounds like you can just go to the store and buy a can of it. So that's not very creative.
Right.
So I think I'm going to choose nectar.
Nectar. Traggle nectar. This kind of sounds the most appetizing of the group anyway, doesn't it?
What's that sounds story? Like an HBO show.
Yeah. Rice and wine sounds like it has to be served to me by a guy in a white diaper. And Carvino juice sounds like something I have to take because the mob's trying to kill me, so that's my poison.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out if you're right and if you can carry on your streak of 2 weeks and 2 days.
Wow.
With perfect answers. Let's find out if that's true today. Here we go. Is it Traggle Nectar?
Oh, fell off the wagon.
It's Denevian wine. Denevian.
Probably Denevian.
Denevian wine. The other ingredient in this drink is this stuff. Guinan asks Data what he thinks of the drink. He basically says it's too sweet. She then tells Data she thinks he is preoccupied. Here's a clippy.
Hello, Data. Would you like to try something new? It's a concoction I heard about on Proctel 2. I think it's wonderful, but I need a second opinion.
87% Sarian brandy. Targ milk and Denevian mead comprise the rest. There is an unusually high concentration of fructose compound in monosaccharides.
Too sweet? Data, if I didn't know you better, I would say you were a little preoccupied.
Lieutenant DeSora just gave me what could be considered a very passionate kiss in the torpedo bay.
Really? And?
I was intrigued.
That was an awkward conversation. I wish you'd say it includes this Devian mead, targ milk, and both my eyebrows. That's where they're both at. They're in this drink. There you go, Daryl.
Tet dance and sweat.
Daryl, you can't win them all, man. I want you to look at life that way. It just It's fine. It's okay. You learn more from your failures than you do your successes. Keep that
in
mind.
Try not to think about the fact that missing that question right there cost some charity $10 that they'll never see.
Yeah, don't think about that.
Don't think about that.
No. Put that out of your head. Put that out of your head. And know that, you know, I mean, how many times did Steve Jobs have to fail before he succeeded? It's fine. It's okay. Bump in the road, man. Bump in the road.
I am not going to the Star Trek Super Bowl now.
I would watch that, by the way. That was the thing.
Heartbeat.
I would watch that in a heartbeat. Okay. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Skills. You should listen to that show. It's great. All right, Daryl, I would like to play a game with you. Do you want to play a game and give us what is the game today? What is the thing?
Is this a Star Trek nut or an actual nut?
Oh, I like the nut ones. The nuts are good. Do we have a theme?
Well,
there you go.
Perfect.
Okay. Karuka.
Haruka?
Karuka nut.
Karuka nut. I'm going to say it's an actual nut.
I think Brian's probably right, but I'll say Star Trek alien thing. Or Star Trek thing.
Bad choice because it is an actual nut.
It's a nut. Damn it. I knew it was a nut. Sometimes Daryl's questions have nuts. Sometimes they don't.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Do you like Andrew Allen's jazz? I do. Do you want to hear bigger jazz?
Yeah.
The Grease Jazz Band with the Tadpoles, another J. Martin, and Musical Chemist is streaming live this Wednesday, the 22nd, on jazz901.org at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. in the only time zone that matters. That's jazz901.org.
Yeah. That's mountain time for those wondering on the only time zone that matters. We haven't brought that up in a while. It's important to remind people. The only time zone that matters, mountain time. Just ask those nice people in Brazil. They know.
Irony Man was able to get a photo, an actual photo of the guy saying fart gas.
Shut up.
It's linked in the tadpole there.
I don't believe this. Let me look at it. Let's see. Here we go. You're a freaking genius, Irony Man.
I don't know. I don't know what movie he kept that out of. But
I know. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
That is Speed.
Oh, is that Speed? Okay, so it's right. They're trying to get messages 88 miles per hour.
Uh-huh. I think that's Speed.
Very good.
I could be wrong, but
for those listening at home, yeah, not streaming.
Pretty sure it's Speed. That guy's great in Speed.
That is great.
I like Speed generally.
Ice Worm, can I get that one?
Yeah, I like Speed generally. It's a good idea. Cap that one out. All right. So, turns out this is a new year. We're looking back on 2013 and getting some stats and stuff.
Sure.
And it turns out that password, PASSWORD, is no longer the most popular password being used today.
Oh, wow. So all that publicity that password got made people say, maybe I shouldn't use that one anymore.
Yeah, let me change that for my Breaking Bad work that I do. You should do that.
My password is the one who knocks. But I changed that last S to a 5. So no one's going to figure that one out.
Ralph says this is his favorite thing about TMS, by the way, is your voice. I agree.
So here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, I am the one who knocks. But I want you to say it really serious.
I'm petitioning now for a fake interview with Vince Gilligan on the program.
And I think he's only good in small doses. I don't know if I could do an entire...
That wouldn't be long. It would just kind of be... I don't know what it would be. But every time you do it, it's so freaking funny. All right. There's a new worst password now. This is at least according to Splash Data Inc. This is these guys that do this whole thing. They check it every year to see how bad passwords are. The password specialists say that for the first time since they've been compiling their list of most common passwords, the word password did not top the list. So this is a big deal. Company releases 2013 list over the weekend. The year's compilation highlighted the effects of well-publicized security breach at Adobe, with passwords related to the company popping up on the list. Seeing passwords like Adobe 123 and Photoshop on the list that offers a good reminder not to base your password on the name of the website or application you're accessing, says Morgan Slain, CEO of Splash.
Morgan Slain.
Oh, villain in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Slain, I'm coming for you.
Another interesting aspect of this year's list, he says, is that more short numerical passwords showed up than even though websites are starting to enforce stronger password policies. This according to Slain. For example, this year's lists are simple and easy guessable passwords like 1234. That's at number 16. Uh-huh. 12345 at number 20. And 000000 at 25. The year's number one most common password?
Yeah.
12345 6. That stops.
Nice.
There. I wish it went 7 8 9 10 11 12.
Golly.
Don't do that, guys. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Kind of psycho art.
We ran into a thing last night. So Tristan is desperately trying to find a job. I mean, the poor kid is just sending out application after application. There's lots of teenagers all right now going after the same jobs.
Yep.
And he's applying on Wendy's site. Now, Wendy has a situation where you can create an account, mm-hmm, and then fill out your resume, and then it stays on file. The limitation on the password, you know, much like you see everything else, it's got to have a letter and a number, at least one of each in there.
Yep.
And but here's the goofy thing. No repeating letters, even double letters. So you know, one of his words happens to have a double letter in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, you cannot use that password.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, all right, you know, no three repeating characters in a row or something like that. But I mean, come on, two letters? Like, if your password and his password is not button, but if the password is button, nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
Two T's in a row.
That's weird. That's totally weird. They shouldn't do that. What's his name say?
Wendy's old face and hamburgers.
Oh, okay. That's what he'd say.
What's weird is there isn't a single double letter in anything that Dave Thomas just said.
There isn't, is there? Wait. Old-fashioned hamburgers. Nope. You're right. Yeah. He's not. My gosh, that's amazing. What do we win? Win.
No. We win a quarter.
We win a quarter. All right. So there's that. I don't know why I put this in news, but here it is anyway. I think I swapped the Rodman stories. It doesn't matter. J.J. Abrams has confirmed Jesse Plemons is up for a Star Wars role.
Cool.
Now, you know him as Todd on Breaking Bad and
Friday Night Lights.
What's his name on there?
Landry.
Landry on Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
He's a fantastic actor.
He is really good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'd picture him as long time ago Alien.
Yeah. Maybe Alien I could see more than like a human character.
That's true. That's true. He does kind of look like a Funhouse Mirror version of Matt Damon.
Kind
of,
oh my gosh, that's funny. Totally. That's totally what he looks like. Abrams, the brains behind the new Star Wars saga, has confirmed that Breaking Bad star Jesse Plemons is in the running for a major role in the latest installment of the sci-fi films franchise. The director has been reluctant to release news about the film, but he opened up about Plemons on the TV Critics Association press tour on Sunday. Abrams told TheWrap.com. Which is all lettuce and a little bit of meat. Right. And a tortilla or something. He says,
way too much rice.
He is one of the actors we've talked to. The filmmaker also confirmed that the script is finished and he's almost ready to start making the seventh movie. He starts in May is what I read. Starts filming in May. He adds, we're working really hard and we've got our script and we're in deep prep. Abrams told us, sounds like a Star Wars planet. Deep prep. Let's get to deep prep quickly.
Deep prep 9.
Deep Prep 9. All they do is just prepare for everything. That'd be great. Abrams hopes to shoot in May, which I already said, and says that's the current plan. Irish actress Saoirse Ronan Fruitvale Station star... that's not the guy's name. Fruitvale Station star Michael B. Jordan. B. Jordan.
Why not also say Friday Night Lights for Michael B. Jordan? Because that's where you probably know him from.
Yeah. I don't know him from anything else, to be honest with you.
He's in that new awkward something, that awkward moment.
Oh.
I think that's the name of it.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
The girl, she's lovely.
She is lovely, yeah.
She's in...
piercing blue eyes, wow.
Yeah, she's really pretty. I want to say I saw her in something recent.
Was that her in The Lovely Bones?
No...
I think that was.
Was it her in The Lovely Bones?
She was the
girl with the lovely bones, right?
And Irony Man says it's pronounced Saoirse.
Saoirse, got it.
Saoirse Ronan.
There's also, she's in something else I've seen, and it's going to bug me until I can think of it. But yeah, her eyes are crazy. Look at those things. Those are very cool princess of the freaking Star Wars land.
Yeah.
Eyes. And this Michael B. Jordan, hold on. We're going to get him worked out. He's right here. Michael B. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's great.
He was the new quarterback.
Yeah.
When Coach Taylor went over to the other side of town.
Of town, right, which was great. What a great show that was.
It really was, yeah.
Oh, so good. I miss it. Chronicle he was into. That's what I saw.
Chronicle, right. I forgot about that. Yep.
Yep. He's been in some other stuff. But
he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Very believable.
I like this kid.
Oh, he's in The Wire, too. Huh.
I'm down with that. Bring it on. If he is Lando's son, I'm all in. We got to get to that Death Star.
You have to assume the only black character in Star Wars, yep, he has to be his son.
And let him fly. Let him fly around, a little short little alien guy that goes all the time. Wouldn't that be great?
You nub.
Come on, nub or whatever. Yeah. We got to get to that Death Star.
You nub.
the thing slobbered all over itself all the time. Anyway.
Right.
That's awesome. Stoked. That'll be great. I'm very much looking forward to Star Wars. I really am. It's going to be a big deal. That whole year is going to be decimated by that movie.
Oh, my God. It really... Well, but Avengers 2, you know?
Yeah, that's about the only other thing you could do, you know?
Could potentially have any sort of competition. I mean, it's, you know, it's still going to be like...
And they'll be competing for the same... It's not even they'll be competing. It's just that, hey, twice a year, everyone will see two things that are huge, you know?
Right.
Everything else will suffer. Mm-hmm. Everything else will be like... We're not.
Yeah, I would not want to. I would not want to release a movie.
No.
In 2015.
And there are people who aren't. They've decided to push them off. Mm-hmm. So every time that adds, like, oh, you guys are opening 2 weeks later. Let's see how that goes. Oh, you're moving it to 2016. Interesting.
Exactly.
Just because you want to polish things off. Is that what you're saying to yourself? Is that what you're telling everybody? Okay.
Right.
You just want to be perfect. You don't want to have any problems. Got it. HelloFresh.com sponsoring the program today.
Yay.
Morningstream 50 gets you 50% off their fantastic service, which includes you picking out recipes from real chefs, having those exact farm fresh ingredients shipped straight to your door. Your damn doorstep, man. Boop, there it is. You open up the door, and there it is. They send you everything you need to create delicious, healthy meals in 30 minutes or less. Just visit HelloFresh.com, and they'll deliver it to you. Germany, Australia, the U.S., the U.K., the Netherlands... And expanding all the time. 50% off with the morning stream code of Morningstream 50. That's 50% off, damn it. I don't know how you could ask for a bigger discount than that. 50% off. That's half your first order at HelloFresh.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, rung to you by...
Brought to you by Slugbooks at slugbooks.com. If you're in college and you need textbooks, this is the way to get them. It's like Expedia or Kayak, except for textbooks. Find the lowest prices on all the different textbooks you need, and it compares prices from BookRenter, Half.com, Amazon.com, Textbooks, Abe Books, all these other sites that sell textbooks. It's slugbooks.com. We thank them for their support.
Yay! Madonna is not a racist.
What?
I know.
Okay.
You were thinking it, but...
I was. That I can now take that off my bumper sticker.
Well, she apologized after calling her son Rocco the N-word on Instagram.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Well, she says, it was a term of endearment. She probably did it in a British accent because she sucks. It was a term of endearment toward my son who is white, she says. Well, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
The photo wasn't a giveaway that he was white. The Express Yourself singer shared a photo of her son boxing and captioned it, hashtag DISNIGGA or dis boop.
Right.
After deleting the comment, she bashed critics. Get off my dick, haters. She's now apologizing for it. She also had to put out an apology saying, I do not have a
I have horrible, horrible arms, but I do not have a dick.
Right. I don't have that.
All right, so Rocco's white, but she's got other sons from Malawi, right, who are of color, who would find that offensive?
Yeah, no doubt. Is she forgetting about them? Did she already push them to the side and say, I'm bored with the adoption thing?
Right.
That's what I wondered. They don't really get into that here. She says, I'm sorry. She goes on to say this. I'm sorry if I offended anyone with my use of the N-word on Instagram. It was not meant as a racial slur. I am not a racist. There is no way to defend the use of the word. It was all about intention. It was used... Well, she's defending it. There's no way to defend the use of the word, but here I'm going to go ahead and defend it. It was used as a term of endearment toward my son who is white. I appreciate that it's a provocative word, and I apologize if it gave people the wrong impression. Forgive me. But I'm not defending this word you can't defend. Whatever, man. She's whatever.
Well done, Madonna.
In the news.
Here's the way to keep in the public eye, right? I mean, you know, she was... In the 80s and 90s, she was always about reinventing herself and going and doing things that were blatantly controversial just to kind of get, you know, media attention. Mm-hmm. Her book called Sex and the videos that couldn't be shown on MTV, so everyone's trying to get them. I mean, do we think that this was an accident, or do we think that maybe this is like, how do I stay relevant? How do I stay, how do I keep trending?
It has a whiff of how do I keep trending. Yeah, to it, in my opinion. Speaking of a man who has the whiff of something.
I can't even imagine what this guy smells like.
Not after a long weekend. Dennis Rodman, famed basketball superstar Dennis Rodman, checks into alcohol rehab after his North Korea trip. This is the weird one where he's saying happy birthday to the king there.
Yes. I wish he would have done like Marilyn Monroe. Happy birthday.
It was close.
It kind of was. Yeah.
In fact, we're going to find it. Rodman. Happy birthday. Let's see. We're going to find this real quick. Here we go. Happy birthday to Kim Jong-un. Oh, that place is the most sterile looking joint. That place freaks me out. That building there.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know.
So weird. Okay, here we go. Come on, Robin. Get up to the podium there, buddy.
Hot zone warehouse is what that thing is.
Yep. Okay, here we go. I don't know why there's so much waiting.
Happy birthday to
That's it.
Wow. They're robots, man.
Right, and then this rhythmic clapping that's not in time with anything that Dennis Rodman's doing.
Jeez, Rodman, what do you get for this? Do you get something for this? Oh my gosh, he's about to fall over. I think he's stoned out of his mind. All right, anyway, the point is...
Wow.
He's checked into rehab as soon as he got home after that trip.
It's no surprise, right? I mean, you look at this guy and you think that there's got to be about 15 different addictions that he's got to be on, like tattoo addiction, piercing addiction.
Mm-hmm. And there are drugs in there. I mean, when he was in that Dr. Drew thing, he was...
Inappropriate international trip.
Yeah.
addiction.
Inappropriate lauding of a tyrant.
I think even celebrity apprentice addiction is a thing.
I think it might be. Dennis Rodman came back from North Korea in pretty rough shape emotionally, says this article. Pressure that was put on him to be combination superhuman political figure and fixer got the better of him, his agent Darren Prince said on Sunday in a written statement. He is embarrassed, saddened, and remorseful for the anger and hurt his words have caused.
Mm.
Prince said Rodman is not at a facility in New Jersey. Oh, is at, sorry.
he's definitely not at this facility with this address
right now in this room. One with a 28 or 30 day program, he says. He said Rodman drank heavily in North Korea during the recent tumultuous trip to the secretive state to play basketball games with some former NBA stars against the national team players from the regime.
Mm.
Did they win? Do we know how that turned out?
Oh, is there any... I mean, he took a bunch of other pro basketball players with him out there.
Yeah, but do you let them win, though? Because it's North Korea, and they'll put you in a thing and feed you the dogs, saying. You know?
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I think...
this isn't his first trip, either.
I think that he's so buddy-buddy with Kim Jong-un that he wouldn't have to, you know, do the let their team win just to kind of appease him.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
As a matter of fact, Kim Jong-un might even appreciate like seeing his country's basketball team get hammered by Dennis Rodman and company.
Do you think when they came out on the court, they played Who Let the Dogs Out just for a laugh? No, maybe not. Okay.
No, probably not. Okay. I don't know.
They should have. That would have been great. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring the show. Tweaked Audio with their five fantastic styles, their seven great colors. They have great earbuds, guys.
Really
go
do.
Get them.
I love the wood ones. They're just so cool looking, and they sound fantastic.
Yeah, they're great. And you ought to check them out. See if there's something there for you. Chances are there is. Compatibility, noise reduction, engineering, it's all there. And they'll give you a lifetime warranty. They're not buying crap. And if you do have any problems, they will swap them out for new ones. That's how they roll. Stream at checkout for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Let's take a break. When we come back... should have Bill, should have Jerry, and should have emails, but we shouldn't have anything until we have a song.
Let's have that first. All right, this one is going out to Jagu in the Tadpool. Good morning, Jones and Brody. First, let me say how much I appreciate the much-needed mindcation your show has given me during my most stressful times. The level of awesome you guys deliver every day is almost appalling. Anyway, my wife is 39 weeks pregnant, and I would love to request a song for the grand entrance of my baby boy to this Earth Prime. I'm sure he/I would love a cover of Elton John and Tim Rice's Circle of Life, but anything Brian chooses would work greatly, I'm sure. Thanks again. Glow the Froyo, Jagu.
Circle of Life, the Lion King. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
And I do have a couple covers of that song. they're very mamby-pamby. You know, it's you're not going to get anything kind of fun and unusual with that. It's people, when you've got Can You Feel the Love Tonight and Circle of Life, mm-hmm. people who cover those songs tend to cover them pretty close to the original.
Whole New World, too. They do that all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Whole New World is another good example.
Yeah.
But how about something from that same movie, but maybe covered in kind of an unusual style? Hakuna Matata, the song that Timon and Pumbaa sing. Let's listen to a cover performed by a Japanese ska group. Let that sink in.
Mm.
Japanese ska group.
Okay.
Called Rude Bones. This is from a 2002 album called Dive into Disney. And, you know, as you wrap your mind around a ska group from Japan covering a song with African lyrics.
You had me a ska group from Japan. Right. The rest of it is gravy.
It's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Here it is, Hakuna Matata by Rude Bones.
All right. Check it out. We'll be back in a minute. And don't forget.
What do you think, meat and potato man?
I think it's pretty good. We'll be back in a minute with that and our friends and more. Please stay tuned.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Matata. And now, Posse Quay. It means no worries for the rest of your day. And it hurts that my friends never sat down with. Oh, what a shame.
Hey, what a shame.
So they changed my name.
Oh, what's your name?
And I got down hurted.
How did you feel?
I'm down the line.
Hey, Papa, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful place.
Hakuna Matata.
sure hope it's meat and potato. Right, son?
Right. Okay, meat and potato men. Wait till you taste this broadcast beef stew.
Mmm, big pieces of beef and potatoes.
And vegetables and rich brown gravy, too.
What do you think, meat and potato man?
It's great. Broadcast. The meat and potato man's beef stew. From the John Laurel family of fine foods.
Mommy, can I be a meat and potato man, too?
No.
Beware of rabbits. They eat carrots. This is the Morning Stream.
I'm here to tell you that that may be the greatest cover you've ever played.
It's a problem fee ferocity.
Ferocity. And then Ralph said the funniest thing I've heard on there in a while, which was you would really like their cover version of Lead Lead Wine.
I didn't see that.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Love it. So that was just about the most perfect. I kind of want the rest of their music now. I assume they have other covers.
They do, but I think that might be the only thing I have by them until Amazon delivers the thing I just ordered, which is their current single, which has apparently a bunch more covers on it. So as soon as I get those, we'll probably hear those here on the show.
I'm all in. I am all in. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to call our friend Bill Duran.
Yay!
He's the fitness geek, talks about fitness, does cool stuff, says things, and we listen. We always listen. And he has this to say first. Bill Duran, everybody, the fitness geek. What's going on?
Howdy, guys.
How are you, man?
Hello.
I'm not sore anymore.
Oh, you know,
I don't have to be sore anymore.
I know why, though. Because you took, what's her name? Jury's lady. Can't remember, think of her name all of a sudden.
Oh, Ashley.
Oh, Ashley. Yeah. You took Ash over to the DDR machine.
Oh, yeah. She is a monster.
I have never, I could not believe that vine you put up.
I didn't see that video. Yeah. I saw the photo of you guys going to GameWorks, but I did not see the dancing video. Oh, my God.
Could you guys be bigger nerds is my question with your outfits and stuff.
And there was no video of me because I played DDR in the easiest setting and I was getting solid D's and E's in my rating.
Yeah.
So not my game, but Ashley, holy crap.
No, she was holding on to the bars. Yeah. I've never that she had her game face on. Her legs were moving faster than lightning. It was crazy.
Yeah, so that's not why I was sore, though. Mm. Last week I've been really good about using my treadmill, but I took a break from lifting, you know?
Yeah.
So I started again last week.
Yeah.
And I did a really kind of intense ab workout, you know, your core. And I didn't, it was weird because at the time I didn't feel like I pushed myself that hard.
Mm.
But let me tell you, 2 days later, you know the area where your legs connect to the rest of your body?
I know those. Those are cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fire.
Mm.
Just liquid fire running through my
That's not
being.
Good. That's also, if you get all inflamed all up in there, you got your sciatic nerves run through there.
Yeah.
And those are always trouble for me. Like, I'm kind of having that right now from yesterday's workout. I get these kind of weird zingings and stuff, and it's always been a little tricky. Like, I feel like that's going to be, when I'm 80, that's what's going to hurt.
Oh,
is those,
yeah.
Because they get worse as you get older. But yeah, that whole area, man, that's like you got your groin, you got your niblets in there, you got your goodies, you got everything in there. You got to be careful.
Oh, good. But anyway, second weekend, it won't be as bad. So I'm going to go kick my own ass again tomorrow and see how it goes.
That's great. Are you doing every other day on that kind of workout?
I'm doing, Monday, Wednesday, Friday is lifting. Tuesday and Thursday is abs. Yeah. And then on the weekend, I just use a treadmill.
So I got a question for you that probably has nothing to do with what else you want to talk about. But I just want to ask you the question because it came up during the week.
You want to talk about cookies.
Yeah. These cookies that kill you, dude. They're so good. And there's so much butter in them. I feel like I'm eating a stick of butter every time I eat one. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, they're good.
They are really good. Yeah.
What I was going to say to you was what? Oh, so the idea, there's a concept floating around now. Okay. Let me preface this by saying there are a couple of kinds of quote unquote clinical obesities. Okay.
Okay.
One of them is there's a thyroid problem. There's other medical things that kick in that cause you to have a really hard time losing weight or you gain weight because it's part of some medical condition, right? Mm-hmm. There's that side. And then there's the other side, which is I eat a lot of junk, I don't exercise, and I sit on my butt a lot.
Right.
So there's two different categories, and there's probably some other distinctions in between. But there's, when I grew up, there was a very important distinction between, there's a term being thrown around today called, that people refer to as fat shaming, right?
Right.
And when I grew up, the distinction was you, first of all, you didn't shame anybody. You just, but you wouldn't say anything negative towards somebody who had a medical condition. And if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't say things like that unless you knew.
Right.
And if they didn't, then you were okay to go, dude, get off your butt and work a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Today, that latter thing is considered fat shaming.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I don't understand exactly why. Because what we're doing is we're not going, man, you're so fat. We're just saying, no, dude, this is unhealthy. You should get up and do stuff. People are starting to take offense at the idea that we think they should be, you know, healthier. And I guess we shouldn't tell them how to run their lives. And I'm not saying we do that. But the whole concept of quote unquote fat shaming seems to be a problem now that is keeping some people from doing anything about it. Does that make any sense? Treating it like it's a racist thing or a religion or something. I think that's a bad place for us to all go. And I don't mean that we all ought to be making fun of all our fat friends. That's not what I'm arguing for here. Anyway.
So the way I always look at it, and I've said this before, is that if another person is healthy and happy with their body, then that's their own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, an example from my own life, when I was heavier, and I was like 230 pounds at my heaviest. It was significantly heavier than I am now. I come from a really athletic family.
Yeah.
Played lots of sports growing up. My dad is like a coach.
Mm.
Like, he coached all the sports.
Yeah.
And when I was getting heavier, I mean, what they saw in me was a trend towards a very unhealthy future.
Right.
You know,
they saw you putting on the weight. Now it's just a sign of an unhealthy lifestyle.
Right.
Whatever. Right.
And they gave me hell.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing about that. I think they're well within their right to do so. They cared about me, and I knew that's why they were doing it. I didn't take it too personally.
Well, they also weren't saying, "Hey, what you doing, fatty? Come here, fatty." It wasn't like that.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well,
he is a coach, so never mind then.
Yeah.
Those stereotypes hold true.
Now, here's the thing about that though: is that was not what got me in gear to change them. The real motivation. To make that kind of change in your life can't come from an external source. Because you hear about people who will even have like we'll talk about smoking again because I need to piss off someone on Twitter. People know that they should quit smoking, right? And there are people who will like lose a lung to cancer, keep smoking.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, there are people with cancer.
Yeah.
Who can't stop smoking. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are people who will, like, let's say with the eating thing, they'll have a heart attack and they're like, wow, I should really change my life. And then they don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would think that having that external, like a thing outside of your, let me think. Yeah. Outside of your control, kind of where mm-hmm. like people are yelling at you because you're putting on weight, would affect change. But in my opinion, it can't
It's got to come from within.
It's got to come.
Right, exactly.
Totally agree. And it's also a really important thing to mention, I think, and the chat room's sort of echoing this, but there are other factors involved. There's clinical depression. It's not just thyroid problems. It's other things that can lead to this. Food sometimes becomes this escape plan. I know it does for me. It's the thing I have to kind of watch for. So despite all this weight loss, I still have to kind of be super mindful of it and hard on myself. To make that happen. But yes, there are other factors that play a role, and I am not arguing for anybody to ridicule anyone for their current state.
Right.
I'm just arguing that the more afraid we are of confronting it with especially the ones that we love in a way that like your family did because you knew where their heart was, I think is a dangerous thing because if it becomes this sort of standoffish, you know, kind of like can't say a word on TV kind of thing, well then it doesn't get addressed ever, then people just sink into their reasons, which may be depression, maybe medical, maybe other things, and they don't get help or they don't whatever. That's my only fear with it. I just think sometimes we go so far in protecting somebody's feelings, we just overshoot.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you feel inclined to comment on someone else's body for any reason. Just what's your goal, right?
What if they have a weird torso and they're a popular supermodel? What then?
If it's someone you know and you're worried about their health and your goal is to help and support them, there are ways to do that in a non-threatening way, right?
Sure.
If this is a person you don't know and you simply want to make them feel bad about themselves, mm-hmm. keep your damn mouth shut.
Shut your damn mouth.
Yeah, because when I weighed 230 pounds, I didn't need someone on the street to remind me. Mm-hmm. I knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to... Exactly. There's nobody... Whatever. If you're 400 pounds, you know it, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know it is, and you know it's hard, and you don't need other people telling you. But the ones you're close to you, I feel like they should be at least allowed to want to, you know, to express themselves definitely. To help you, not to shame you.
Yeah, and if you're in that position and people that care about you are coming to you because they care about it, don't get defensive. Know that they do it. Even though people may come, like your coach dad, may come off a little rough in the critique of your physique.
Yeah. Physique critique.
Know that he does it because he wants you to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, well, I agree 100%. You've totally nailed it. All right. I did not mean to take that detour, but
that's cool.
It didn't sound like you minded.
Had a problem.
I have a couple things. One thing to bring up from last week, we were talking about gluten.
Yeah, gluten.
I learned something. Again, Twitter spoke up. Apparently, some beef jerky does have gluten in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of foods we found out are prepared on like flour because it's non-sticky and there's all that.
So I learned something.
Yeah.
And again, this is another situation where if you do have any sort of special dietary concerns like that, don't rely on what they're printing on the bag because the stuff like the nutritional stuff. They put that on there because they are required to by law. If it didn't have to be there, it wouldn't be there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. The stuff that's printed in big bold letters on the front is there to sell you stuff. So if you have a dietary concern, talk to a dietitian and come up with your own diet plan so that you know what you should and shouldn't eat.
Right.
Don't count on marketing to save you from that.
Yeah, or even ingredients lists. Sometimes those are, you know... Those are pretty weird. Somebody had emailed and said there are other words for gluten, and sometimes people will put that in the ingredients to throw you off and have you not know gluten's on there. Yeah.
Jeez.
Like chemical names and things like that.
Right.
That are gluten based, and there's binders that are made of, you know, that use gluten that may not come out and say because it doesn't hit the, you know, glutamycin or something.
Right.
Another thing, I can't remember what the context was, but Brian made some sort of wager about, Where if I lost, I sent him coffee, and if he lost, he sent me Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah. Right, this would be the.
Are you unfamiliar with the oysters and what they are?
I know it's Seahawks.
Right, so Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos, Super Bowl, your home team, my home team.
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't think this is a fair wager. No idea about football, but right. I was curious about about the nutritional information of Rocky Mountain oysters.
How much gluten are in those? Is the
goat. So now here's the problem with Rocky Mountain oysters. The way they are, well, aside from
the fact that they are Rocky Mountain oysters,
is that they are generally prepared by being deep fried.
Deep fried, exactly.
So they're battered and deep fried, so they're high in fat. Other than that, though, they aren't bringing a whole lot else to the table. Some protein and some carbs.
Yeah.
Most
of the protein's gone by then.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain oysters are not Fitness Geek approved on several levels.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Plus, they're going to be hard to ship.
Keeping them fresh is the real concern.
Right. You want to go cut to plate in like a half an hour.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah.
All right. So you want some Georgetown Valley caramel corn or what's something else that's like...
boring. Something else that's it's not balls from a goat or from a bowl.
You know what we'll do? We'll just trade our local flavor of weed.
Hey.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, yes,
totally do that. You do the Rocky Mountain High versus
that won't put me on the NSA list. Or the
No.
A bag of fresh Space Needle for some Rocky Mountain High. That's a nice trade.
ATF.
Either way, I was going to... You're not a big football guy, I know that, but No. Do you, when these things happen and your home team's in the playoffs, like we get all woolly around here when the Jazz are in the playoffs, do you get excited? Do you want to get really behind it? No, not really.
No.
Okay.
I'm not even from Seattle, so I don't care that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, you're not. I'm more of a, I mean, even if I lived in Seattle, I'd probably still root for Denver because I've always been a Denver fan. I don't think I can just move there and go, yep, I'm going to adopt your team because I'm here.
How about if I win, or if the Broncos win, I do 50 push-ups on the show.
50.
If the 50 push-ups. Mm-hmm. If the Seahawks win, you eat a deep-fried Twinkie on the show.
Oh, man. I don't
it's
even
gotta
like
it. Be something difficult for both of us.
That is difficult because I hate Twinkies. All right. I'm in.
Deal.
I will oversee this match and make sure everything's up on the up and up.
Awesome. So this is how much I am not a football fan. When the big game they just played, the Seahawks just played,
yeah,
one with the crazy guy at the end,
yeah,
the crazy when the guy. Game was going, I was at my brother's house and we were playing a board game that he invented himself.
Oh, that's awesome.
That he wait, oh, that your boy, that you're okay, not the dude from the Seahawks didn't invent the board game.
Okay. No, my brother Rob, he invented a board game called Durandiland. Oh, and we were playing.
No, no way. Oh my god,
that's kind of awesome, man.
Yeah,
are you gonna sell it and market it, do a Kickstarter or something?
Who knows?
Y'all ought to do that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'd pay for such a thing. Well, that's great. Yeah. I really enjoyed today's show. Fat shaming, Twinkies, deep fried. What else have we done?
Bull testicles.
We've covered it all, really.
Yeah.
Bill's dad, who's a hardcore coach, and that's something we didn't know about him before. Now we know.
Yeah, if he's ever around, I'll have to bring him on the show. He's awesome.
Totally.
You are. I like that you are so not a sports guy, and he is totally a sports guy. This is how it was for me growing up. It was like that. My dad was super mechanical and like cars and like moving stuff, and I was so not that guy.
Well, I played 3 or 4 sports a year growing up. Mm. I mean, I played lots and lots more sports than most people could think. In fact, I think that my team sports trained me better for being really good in a World of Warcraft raid.
I'm
really good.
Good teamwork skills and stuff. Yeah. Nothing wrong with some sports here and there. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good for you. Go Broncos. All right. Bill Duran is the chin beard. It's just chin beard on Twitter. Follow him there. Mm-hmm. And punishprops.com. There's cool stuff happening. Videos now. All that kind of stuff. Anything I'm missing.
Yeah. I'm doing, my commissions are open now. This is a big deal. I only do this for a couple of weeks every year because I fill out my schedule for the whole year, then I close it, so I don't have to deal with that again. If there's something that you want made, you can go to punishprops.com. Up at the top, there's a link for request a commission.
Nice.
You fill out a form. There's some videos there to check out so you can see what the whole process is like. And yeah, if you want something made by me, that's the way to do it.
If you want to get a Halo gun made, there's where you sign up, man.
Totally, yeah.
Awesome, nice work, and we'll do it this next week again, man. How's that? How you like them ideas?
Good plan, man.
Bye now. All right, off he goes into Durandiland. I'd play that. Would you play that?
I would totally play that. Yeah. Yes.
Does it?
What am I thinking with the 50 push-ups thing? What the hell am I thinking?
What are you thinking? Well,
20 push-ups would have been a challenge for me.
I actually really think the Broncos have got this, so I think you're going to be fine.
Do you think I'm safe?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're going to be all right. Let me ask the crystal ball.
I'm working my way up to it, though.
Will the Seahawks win?
No.
All right. There's your answer.
No.
Will the Broncos lose?
No.
Okay. I think we're good. Will jury come on?
I got to take a poop.
All right. Let's find out. No. Let's find out. I don't know how. I don't know any other way to find out than to call him.
Yes. All signs point to yes.
Yeah, they do. All signs point to Justin. Did you watch that thing yet? His magic show, the Andrew Mayne deal?
The Andrew Mayne. We saw the first 2 episodes last week, and we have the other 2 DVR'd because Tristan really liked it.
Yeah.
So we're saving watching last night's until T can watch it with
it's
us.
It's really good.
The first few minutes, like the guy, Andrew Mayne makes a car disappear with somebody behind their back.
Yeah, he likes to screw with people.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
It's Justin Robert Young, and I would argue he likes to also screw with people, but in a very different way. Hi, Justin.
Consensually, I'm going to make
always,
note.
Always. You're an adult. They're an adult. It's all fine.
Yes, please.
Papers were signed. Justin, how's it going, man? What's up?
Story about that particular effect, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
That effect has been done. So there were 2 pilots before this this version of the show that Andrew starred in. And in the first pilot, we did that trick. And so I was on set and it was a thing and like, I know it's done, but it was, it went over great and everything. And then what you saw last night, the first episode of last night's run was from the pilot for A&E. So that's basically the show that sold the series to the network.
Gotcha.
So there is a guy on itricks.com, which is my magic blog. There is a guy who is, I think I could politely call kind of a crank. Like he's everything, you know, he's hypercritical about everything and like is almost like 9/11 truther level conspiracy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Wow.
On everything where it's like, well, look at the lines. So like he emails me personally because for whatever reason, I wound up getting into a conversation with him via email yesterday.
Yeah.
Emails me today and is like, oh, how can these tricks get any faker? Look at this thing where the car disappears. And I'm like, well, funny you should mention that because all he normally does is email me about tricks that Chris Angel did or Lance Burton did or, you know, all these other people. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, like I can guess, but I don't know how they were done specifically.
But this one, you know.
This one, I'm like, I was on set. And then I explained to him in detail how the trick was done. Just because I'm like, well, in your face. Yeah. I know this isn't a video trick. And then he emails me back and he's like, no, but seriously, look at the lines.
The lines? Like, what does he mean, the lines?
The lines on the ground where the car was parked.
Oh, I thought he meant like lines of dialogue.
No, like, yeah, that like, well, the tires were on the lines at this point and then they were somewhere else after the camera cut. And I'm like, man, I don't know about the lines. I have no idea. All I know is that like, this is how the trick was done. I know it because I saw it with my own two eyes and wow. I saw it repeated 6 times and then another 5 times for this version. Wow. So yeah.
That embodies the whole, I mean, this has come up on Therapy Thursday before. That embodies the entire conspiracy theory problem.
Yeah.
You ran smack into it, which is, you were on the ground, witnessed it happen, know what happened and how it worked, yet dude is still not convinced and never can be. Even with an eyewitness like yourself, that's still not enough for a guy like that.
Yeah, which is funny because if I told him the other way, if I told him, yeah, no, it was a video trick.
Yeah.
He would believe me immediately. He would be, look, even this guy says it was a video trick.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want to believe. That's where we are. Okay. Real quick thoughts I had while listening to the show before I came on.
Yes,
Number one, imagine you are in a New Jersey rehab facility. You are sitting around the common group therapy area. And you're telling a story about, you know, I've had a problem for over 10 years. I've gotten multiple DUIs. I spent some time in jail. My marriage is in shambles. I don't have a relationship with my kids. And then the next guy says, I was complicit in a murderous regime and took money to prop up a dictator. You're blown out of the water. How can anybody follow that? You have to let, like, if Dennis wants to raise his hand, you know, first, if you're that group therapy counselor, you're like, no, Dennis, later.
Be our big fireworks finish
where
we set everything all off at once.
Put that hand down that has 3 NBA championship rings on it.
And exactly.
We'll talk to you at the end of class.
And because let's assume, just for the sake of this conversation, that this is something for which he repents, you know, and that he comes out and says, hey, listen, I was in a bad place financially. I was in a bad place with a substance abuse problem. This is why I, for whatever reason, kept going back to North Korea to prop up a murderous regime. Is that the greatest bender in, like, substance abuse history?
It seems like it's got to be close, you know? Like, how often do you ever hear about, I don't know. I mean, at least Bieber's, like, in a hooker house in Brazil and putting graffiti up at night when nobody can see him and only lucky paparazzi see it. This is, like, No, you're on the court.
It's visible, right.
You're not just singing on the court, happy
you're on
birthday.
The news. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
To this guy who supposedly just fed his uncle to a bunch of dogs. Like, that is just the craziest. Do you think it's just simply Robin went, oh, this is pretty good money.
Oh, this all, make no mistake.
Yeah.
All of that, up to and including the like, oh my God, what did we do, All Stars, behind him during that scene.
They did have that look, didn't they? Like,
that face was just all like it was in the same way that Diana Ross had backup singers. Uh-huh. Like, he had just the chorus of people like, I am never answering a phone call from Dennis Rodman again.
Because he helped assemble that, I assume. You know?
Like, oh, I'm sure. Well, number one, all right. So here's what happens. And like in any field, once you get accustomed to a certain level of living, it is very hard to shift back.
Yeah.
And I think this is just human psychology, right?
Yeah.
If you are a basketball player and at a very young and impressionable age, you are making a gigantic amount of money, it's very hard for a lot of those guys to have perspective that like, oh, by the way, this is money that needs to really stretch out for my entire life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they spend it. And so you have a lot of these guys that are kind of living, that want to live to a certain level or kind of make financial commitments that are at a certain level. And then next thing you know, they don't have that anymore and they're broke and they're looking for any opportunity to make any kind of money. And Dennis, I mean, like, that's the thing that we don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly how much coin Dennis Rodman got each time he went out there, how much was promised to these other guys. And now, understand that this is on the backs of a subjugation of a people for which, you know, like, it has been theorized borders on the level of North Korean citizens kind of falling out of human evolution, that like they could be evolving into something different because they have been malnourished for so many generations. But like that's really why they're there. They're there to make rent. They're there to make car payments. They're there because they're way underwater in debt. And they like the fact that they can just go and spend 3 days and get paid a ridiculous amount of money, which is, I'm sure, what they were promised.
Yeah.
Is the reason why they were all there.
Did we have a time like in World War II when like Bob Hope would show up at dinner at Hitler's house and entertain people? Like, I don't. It feels like a really unprecedented thing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
yeah, it would have to be something that was like popular before, because that's the thing.
Walt Disney and his propaganda films.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un is a huge NBA fan, and specifically with the 90s Bulls. So like really anybody who played in that era, he is very familiar with and wants to see, which is why I think, for to your question, Scott, he wanted, you know, Rodman to pull down, you know, 15 boards and score 30, you know, against his North Korean people, because he loves those guys so much.
Well, that's what I wondered, is if they were hoping for a Washington Generals kind of performance, or if that was really what they wanted, was them to win and make their dudes look bad, or maybe it's just known that these guys are like gods to him and they need to get carte blanche and do whatever they want. It's just hard to tell from this angle, you know?
Yeah.
Because that awkward also, birthday thing.
Because he's crazy pants. Right. Sauce.
Do you think that, you know, the people that own, there's always that talk about how the copyright for Happy Birthday to You has been owned by these generations of families, right, or whatever. And
Matilda,
White
or something like
can't
that.
Can't probably go after Rodman for that deal, can they?
Oh, I want to send a bill to North Korea.
Yes.
Imagine that, man.
Hey, by the way, $15 American
live performance.
We are waiting 30 days terms.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such an interesting thing, and I don't feel like there's much precedence for it. And part of the coverage makes it sound like we're like, oh, Rodman, okay, whatever, dude, do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't feel like we care that much. Now, would we care if it was like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, what if retiree Donald Rumsfeld showed up and sang happy birthday on the basketball court? I think it'd make a bigger deal out of it, probably. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
there's less crazy involved. Yeah.
Or more.
Because at that point, the question would be, like, are military secrets getting out?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah. Yes. He's a bad example.
We are confident in the fact that Dennis Rodman knows nothing about national security.
Right. But if,
there's nothing for him to divulge.
But if, like, the cast from Ocean's 11 showed up. You know, all of them. Right, Brad Pitt, right. George Clooney, everybody. And they just did a little play out there for him. with Don Cheadle and a bad accent, whatever. Let's say that all happened. I think people would make a bigger whoop out of it because it's we thought those guys were on our side. Rodman were like, you're not on anyone's side. You're on Rodman's side.
Right.
Hell, I don't even feel like he was on the bull side in the 90s half the time.
Well, yeah.
And by the way, Daryl actually just tweeted that the North Koreans did win the basketball game.
Oh, they did?
Oh, they did?
Yes. Oh, that's great. Maybe
well,
my thing.
Well, they down, man. They
love
they
to know what the score was.
Need a job spot.
Yeah. Now, that's complete. See, that's garbage because there's no way they would have lost.
Right.
There's no way, though, that team that he brought with him, including Rodman, as shambled as he may be, there's no way they should have lost that game. So, obviously, they threw it.
Was Yao Ming Korean or Chinese? He was Chinese, right?
Yeah. Very proudly Chinese. Now, by the way, you want to read a screwed up story. There have been stories written about how, like, Yao Ming's parents. Like, Yao Ming was very much the product of Chinese basketball to the point where his parents were, you know, by all indications, kind of forced to breed to create Yao Ming.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Awesome.
I mean, there are, in the story I read, there are euphemisms to it, right? So it's like, they were strongly recommended that they should find a romantic interest in each other. And I think they might still be together.
Mm. Well, they're reaping all the Ming money, I assume. No?
But yeah, no, I mean, like when he signed with the Rockets, there was a portion of his salary that goes directly to the Chinese government.
Wow. That's crazy, man. I always liked Yao Ming, you know?
Nope.
Like watching him play and stuff. Where is he? He's out now, right? Retired?
Yeah, I don't know whether or not he's still in America. I know he was a huge, proponent of Chinese basketball, and even though he was like, you know, very hobbled and injured, he played in the Beijing games,
the Olympics, right?
I think he's. I mean, he was by all means or by all indications, you know, a pretty good guy, you know, and he was fairly open about how weird his situation was to the American media.
Yeah, that is very, I didn't know those details though. That's super interesting actually, but whatever. Professional sports they're no stranger to weird ass crap happening just behind the scenes.
And especially bizarre totalitarian Asian countries. Mm-hmm. Another, we're finding all these amazing nexuses between the bizarre nature of American professional sports and totalitarian Asian regimes.
Yeah, finally together at last. Do you have you got skin in the game for the Super Bowl? Do you care which team goes all the way?
No, I'm happy, like, as a football fan that this is the matchup. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, obviously, Chinbeard, listen, Chinbeard's a carpetbagger, you know, like if the Buffalo Bills were in the Super Bowl, then, you know, I think he would have a little bit more, you know, he would gas up a little bit more for it. But, you know, really, I mean, listen.
By the way, I don't think I've ever heard the Bills and the Super Bowl said in the same phrase, but go ahead. Continue.
Yes. Well, except in the 90s when all they did was get Super Bowl.
That's true.
Like dogs.
Good point. Been a while.
But Daryl Skiles, your beloved Trek nerd, is like in full PR mode for Richard Sherman right now. He's up on Twitter and on Facebook, like uh-huh. he is really into this. I kind of feel like there should be, and I will volunteer maybe Super Bowl week to write a 5-day a football trivia challenge between Brian Ibbett and Daryl Skiles during the Trek Nerd segment.
I'm down with that. The Bird Agrees.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bird Agrees. By the way, the final score was North Korea 47, NBA retirees 39. Wow. According to this,
it's like a 10-minute game.
Well, according to this, in the second half, they mixed the teams. So like they make, because the U.S. was ahead in the first half, so they mixed the teams. But then I don't know how you say that Korea won, because then didn't Korea both win and lose, and didn't U.S. I mean, you've just mixed the teams. That doesn't make sense.
Scott,
to me.
Korea won because dear leader said Korea won.
Oh, yes, exactly. All right. Oh, the guy in the gray suit and the freaking, I got it. Him. Got it.
Today just turns out to be upside down day. Yeah. So
yep. It's opposite day. Wins. It's also my birthday.
Maybe
even though
they pulled down. You guys ever watch those the Rockin' Jock basketball games that they used to do on MTV?
Yeah, I do remember.
Where they would pull down like the 50-point basket that was like
Mark McGrath and stuff, right?
Yeah,
it was like the top of the gym. Like you could like bounce it off the ceiling and into the.
It was like Futurama Blurn's ball is what that reminded me of. Yeah, it was like just ridiculous scoring techniques. That was actually kind of fun because wasn't the deal you had actual athletes, but then you would have like, I don't know, a
musician
Kid Rock would show up and be on a team or
yeah
whatever.
Oh yeah, no, this was kind of earlier than that, so it'd be like Coolio and DeBrat. That's
weird. Yeah. I don't want DeBrat on my team.
Oh, are you kidding?
I'll take Coolio.
DeBrat has some handle.
Does he? All right.
I feel like, well, she was she.
Did I say he? I meant she. I forgot who DeBrat was. I kind of slipped my mind. That's a long time ago. I kind of should forget who Coolio is.
Look up somebody needs to look up DeBrat's. I had a hard time trying to figure that one out grammatically. The DeBrat. That'd be a great way. Somebody please look up for me the DeBrat's scoring line in her Rockin' Jock career.
I am liking this. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for Rockin' Jock. Norman Fell, Mr. Roper, was team coach in 1994 against Tom Arnold.
What? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. 1994, Norman Fell versus Tom Arnold.
Okay, Rockin' Jock.
Grantland, I believe, did a oral history of Rockin' Jock softball with some of the celebrities that played in the first games.
Mm-hmm.
And I unsurprisingly, when you get a bunch of athletes in the offseason and actors and musicians at any point, it was a drug and alcohol fueled bender experience.
Well, because correct me if I'm wrong, but it was all sports, well, different sports. They had baseball sometimes, they had basketball sometimes, right?
Baseball and basketball. I think it started out as kind of like, hey, let's do a celebrity softball game MTV style.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then it eventually became like, oh, okay, well, also a lot of these, baseball is not exactly the most exciting sport to broadcast in general, let alone when a bunch of people who aren't necessarily good at playing it are playing it.
Oh my God.
Basketball, you have a little bit more of a natural skill set for some of these people. So
sure.
They wound up doing that.
A lot I think of them played it more. Yeah, I think so.
Looking at the 1990 roster for the Team Salamanders versus the Aardvarks. You had Sammy Hagar as coach, Tone Loke on second base, Kevin Costner on third base, Daryl Strawberry right field, Kip Winger right center field, Bruce Hornsby, Robert Wool, Holly Robinson, Robin Zander of Cheap Trick, Mike Lookinland, a.k.a. Bobby Brady, on the bench, versus Utah Sam Connection. Kinison with Brett Michaels, Corbin Burnson, Mark McGuire, Belinda Carlisle, MC Hammer, Lou Graham, David Faustino, Keanu Reeves, and Pam Wright. Wow. I want to find this video.
I found the entirety of a 93 annual Jock B-Ball Jam complete game. Like the entirety of the game is up on this this thing. I don't see any of the baseball ones, but the point is I believe these were supposed to and meant to be spiritual successors to
Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes, exactly.
Which is great. Own it, MTV.
That was actually, it's funny that got brought up because Tina and I actually there was some on ESPN yesterday. We were watching Suzanne Summers and Telly Savalas and oh my God, I can't remember who all was in there.
Who loves you, baby? Now throw me the ball. Who loves you?
Right. But we're saying, you know, do you think stars would do that today? I mean, do you think you'd see, you know, Eric Stone Street from Modern Family competing against what's his face from Justified?
The answer is yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think they would do this today?
I think they would do it today, and I'll bet you it's coming. I bet you it's on the way. I bet there's a resurgence, don't you think? Justin's got to come back.
Oh,
well, usually the way that this stuff comes together is agents.
Yeah.
You know, because like you need a few agents on board as like producers to get all the stars.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, like, it's like if it's the fourth lead from every major show, it's kind of like, eh. You need a few of those, like, oh my God, he was in the movie this summer, you know?
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr.'s team captain or something. Like things like that have to happen. And I'm.
Well, no, but you at least need Chris Evans.
Yeah. Right? So, yes.
Like, yes. You're probably not going to get RTJ, but you at least need Chris Evans or Thor.
You might get a Hemsworth.
Yeah, right. Might get a Hemsworth. You might
it
get
may
the
not
Hulk.
Be the Hemsworth.
Don't, don't try to fool me with that crappy Hemsworth. the Cyrus.
Yeah, you don't need the Cyrus Hemsworth.
No. I don't want your thrift store knockoff Expendables Hemsworth. I want the AAA top of the shelf Thor Hemsworth.
Right. And you don't, we're not talking about Battle of the Network, or Dancing with the Stars, which is always like fifth tier guy you never heard of, freaking B-list wash up dude. It's got to be people who are kind of in the, well, like you said, Costner on third base during 1990. Yeah. That's a big deal.
That was a poll.
That year he was going to win best pitcher, best screenplay, best, wolf performance or whatever the hell he was going to do from that movie he made.
Like, best performance. Actor in a wolf performance. Yeah, and the nominees are
Rufus.
So they had baseball. Yeah. They had basketball. Do we want to go with a different sport if we're casting this?
Hockey.
Hockey's hard because you got to, like,
lacrosse.
Like, you have to skate.
Right. They have to be able to skate. And, yeah.
That's a good point.
By the way, look at that 90 roster, okay?
Volleyball.
David Faustino and Sam Kinison on the same team. It's a miracle that they didn't try to snort the third base line.
How come all the lines between? Exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah, I say bring it back. If someone's listening in a network capacity and has the kind of power we hope they wield, let's get this going.
I feel like we got to get a sport. Like, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
Like, is it like a? Like ultimate frisbee,
combine it with those wipeout people. It's fine if it's like a big obstacle course thing. That's fine. Make it a big dumb thing where they fall off stuff and slip on things. That's fine.
Celebrity wipeout.
Yeah, celebrity wipeout.
By the way, like, think about it like this though. Are we looking at our own version in our own genre of this with something like Will Wheaton's Tabletop?
Oh, interesting point. Mm-hmm. Okay, we kind of are doing this in a way.
Is that the nerd geek podcast equivalent of Rock and Jock Basketball or Battle of the Network Stars that Will Wheaton gets a bunch of his famous friends together to play Munchkin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say no until I'm invited on that show, and then I say yes.
Then you say yes? Great. I mean, Current Geek,
Wheaton.
You can make it as small or as big as you want. Technically, Current Geek is this for Frog Pants right now. This is, We bring in these people and smart people from around the network, and we do a little show about it. And it's
Frog Pants All-Stars is basically
right,
that.
But it's our little small,
Yeah, it's our little pond.
It's our little boutique thing. And that, I think that is what is actually ruling the day right now, and that's what's ruling the day moving forward. It is less about there is a set of celebrities, quote unquote, that you would have in your game. It's getting to the point where we're all doing our own thing. You guys got the winner draft, and guess what? That's a bunch of people who are celebrities within the realm of the chat realm or whatever. That's the future of this stuff. And I don't think, maybe we don't get to a time where it's either indistinguishable about who is a star or not, or they just don't do it because it's just happening on all these levels anyway. I mean, that's what The View is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're just a different level. So I don't know if we ever do get back to that. It would have to be big Hollywood stars or nothing because, washed up third tier dude on the Partridge Family is not interesting to me playing baseball.
No, but I think that there's the second tier that's like network television right now that could participate in this. And Dark Sting and the Tadpole suggests celebrity kickball, and I am fully on board with that.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Celebrity kickball.
Now we are playing the game the way it is meant to play.
Yep. Team captain, Peter Dinklage versus, I'm in.
You've got Edie Falco. Right,
right. Exactly. Right. Yes. Right. Now that, that's actually not a bad idea. The problem is I feel like they're getting so highfalutin and so much like, in many ways, so much better than movies are on TV that they're going to be too full of themselves to do anything this low.
I don't think Bryan Cranston would say no to this. He would be 100% involved.
And Aaron Paul would do it because he does everything Bryan Cranston does.
I was listening to a podcast and they made the point that at what point do we worry about the future of the career of Aaron Paul when he's so in love with this bitch thing?
Yeah. It depends on it depends on two things. How well Fast and the Furious, what's the movie
Need
called?
Need
for Speed, the video game adaptation, which already gives me pause, but whatever. That depends on how well that does or how many times he says bitch in that movie. I'm worried about that.
We can all agree he's a very talented actor, and we would like to see more from him. And it's not like the Jesse role was – it's not like he played, a vampire with, you know, a crazy face thing, you know, like it was a character for which you could see adapted into other roles.
Sure. Sure.
As long as he doesn't scream bitch all the time. That's right. the only verbal tick.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's the deal. I think we got to wait 1 year to see, because he was on stage accepting the award for the Golden Globe for Breaking Bad. If he continues, like if he goes up to accept some other award for some other property and he still lets out a bitch, then we've got to worry.
Trouble,
then,
right.
Then we're calling Pinsky in to kind of do a little intervention there.
Yeah, then he's got his own personal, we want to pump you up catch line that everyone will hate.
That's right.
So you need to stop this while you can.
Dana Carvey.
Yeah. Because he's clearly a talented dude with a lot of range. We just haven't seen the range outside of the Pinkman range. Right. So he's got to prove that. I think if he proves it and doesn't drop the word bitch every 5 minutes, he's got it. We're good. Yeah. He's golden. But until then, we
can all agree we're rooting. We're rooting for Aaron Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I love Aaron Paul.
I want Aaron Paul to have a good, big, healthy career.
Yeah, I'm rooting for anybody who can come out of a family of nine in Idaho and make it big in Hollywood. I'm rooting for that. Oh, wow. Just that piece is enough for me. So, if Aaron Paul can go on and do big things, that'd be awesome. But,
and by the way, married well, that dude's living the dream,
dude,
right?
No doubt, yes. Dude. Jeez.
Like for that kid, yeah, one of nine in Idaho, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
If you're writing on the wall what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah. And I shouldn't make fun too much, because apparently his family's awesome and have supported him through everything and are amazing, and he flies them everywhere, and you know, it's all good. But it's, you know, it seems like humble beginnings is all I'm getting at.
Oh, that's hard though.
Yeah.
That you just said that, now I'm worried again. That's how you go broke, Scott.
Did you start that's flying your family everywhere?
Flying your family of, you know, like if it was nine kids, you know, two parents, let alone. Then, of course, a couple cousins want to come along.
Yeah.
That's a quick way to deplete that need for speed check.
Yeah. Pretty soon, Adam Curry's saying this about you.
And what's MC Hammer doing? You know the guy's got talent.
Oh, that's good times. Well, Justin.
I was listening to I mentioned the one day that I filled in the fantasy football podcast that is always like just gets all ginned up for the podcast awards and like ran their baseball podcast again in the People's Choice category.
Yeah.
And they talked about they didn't mention the morning stream, but they talked about how they had like their acceptance speech ready and they were ready to go and then were left waiting at the altar as the majestic Ibbot head it floated to the stage to accept its rightful award of People's Choice.
Yeah.
He came up, the guy from that came up and talked to me, a guy from ESPN, and was like, hey, congratulations. We were, you know, we were really getting up there. We were hoping that we were going to get up there and get a chance to repeat, but congratulations and good work. And
nice of him.
Really, really nice guy. And he actually, he's supposed to be sending me an email. He's like, I'd really like to talk to you guys, maybe about seeing what kind of options Frog Pants has.
Oh my gosh, really? The dude from ESPN, wow. All right.
There's restrictions that ESPN puts on their podcasting that I think he wants to break out of. But
great.
If he's listening to the sound of my voice, you promised me an email. Email me.
This is the year of everyone leaving podcast.
Right. The big properties to
To the small guys. Yeah, where they don't make any money.
Hey, but they're in control.
Yeah, that's right.
Control.
All right. Something to be said about a man who's in control all the time, Justin Robert Young. Justin R. Young on Twitter. What's going on in your life? I know there's always 10 things. What are they today? What can we point people to?
Give us the quick list.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask, a few things. Number one, if there are any tadpoolers in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area that have free time on Friday, I am in desperate need of people that want to help us with a go game happening. Me and the Amtrekker himself, Brett Roundsville, are going to be out there running a game in Chattanooga during the day. So if you know anybody, if you are that person, email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Hey,
JJ, we know you live there. You got to have friends, man. Hook us up, dude.
Oh, JJ's there?
Yeah, he's in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So right. I don't know where, though.
Go see JJ.
I always forget where he's at, but JJ's great. And if you did get to see him, that'd be great. But he's also, you know, he's connected. He knows people. He knows what's going on.
He does. Yeah. All right. So go ahead and help me with that. Big NSFW show tonight. We have Len Peralta.
Oh, very nice.
Friend of
he's on his Kickstarter campaign this month.
Yes.
Yeah, his junket.
What?
Press junket.
Yeah, it's press junket. He was here last week, and it's nice to see him making the rounds. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you hadn't heard.
Yeah, I hadn't heard. Oh, yeah. It's going.
No, yeah, it's for the Geek Week. The Geek Week stuff. I think we're all in it.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you and Brian, me and Brian are all in it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep. So that's gonna be fun. And also, Patrick Rothfuss will be on
the author auteur. He's awesome. Oh.
So we are going to have a big fun show tonight with that.
Is his book out, new one now, or is it coming? What's the deal? That's
no. I think he's on tonight because he's got a charity thing.
Oh.
But I think he'll be back on when the book is on as well.
Yeah. That's soon, though, I think. I want to say he'd sent the final draft to the publisher. There was some tweet about that, and I'm super stoked because that series is freaking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check that out. And then other than that, if you do, we were talking about Don't Trust Andrew Mayne. If you do catch it, you know, and you watch it and you like it, then, you know, listen, every little tweet helps. Hashtag yeah. Don't Trust Mayne. And then if you want to say something nice, if you at reply AETV, all this stuff is recorded. And it does, like, this is a show that had a good initial week number and has had promising kind of ratings. But every little bit on the bubble helps to get a second season. And I know Andrew would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, no duck calls.
What's
here,
up,
man.
With
it's all
the
Andrew.
Lines. My- hashtag don't trust Maine.
my kids now mark it as their favorite new reality show. So there's they have some
great.
New fans. Yeah, they love
Very
it.
Good.
They're totally into it. What,
the more if you could say that on Twitter, yeah. That would be greatly appreciated.
I think I did this morning. And the right. kids, specifically Carter made this comment in the middle of it. She goes, "You know, this isn't the same as that devil guy on the street in Vegas." I said,
the devil guy,
she meant Chris Angel, but
yeah.
she goes, I just felt like that was like too mystical is I think the word she used. She goes, I really like this approach. So I feel like it's paying
he just
off.
Comes across as kind of a douche.
Yeah, he does.
Whether or not he is, I'm not going to make any judgments, but he comes across that way.
But Andrew's, he's just got this face that you can't not yeah. like. And it's yeah. even though he's screwing with you and ran off after your credit or your freaking driver's license is embedded in glass. It's just,
that's right.
You still want to just kind of hug him and stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's an effect yesterday in which he guesses a lady's ATM pin code.
Yeah.
And then produces a fully signed one of her checks signed by her with the exact balance of her bank account.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Don't trust Andrew Mayne. All right, there it is.
This guy. Yeah.
Don't trust him. He's not trustworthy. Justin, have a great week, man. Take it easy. Have fun in Chattanooga, and we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye now. What about the Doge?
What are the Doge doing?
I don't know.
They're the Doge.
Yeah, what about the Doge?
Such Doge. Very Doge.
All right, we got some emails to rip through. We're going to do them right now, and they are brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where this week you're going to hear some acapella, some collegiate acapella music. Just, you know, people with their voices and no instruments.
Oh.
Stick around. That'll be on this week's Coverville.
I'm going to put a little note here for you. I totally forgot to put stuff in there, so thank you.
That's
for
all right. That. Yeah, sure. Hey, I can roll with the punches,
that's
man.
That's right. You're an improver. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, Monday through Friday, says Melissa, the maintenance crew picks up trash around the apartments and dumpster.
Okay.
Taking out my trash on Saturday, I saw someone had missed and there was trash everywhere around the dumpster. Knowing that we were expecting more snow, I cleaned it up for them so it wouldn't have to be done by maintenance first thing Monday morning.
Just dawned on me that this is a weekend of kindness thing.
Weekend of kindness, another yes. one rolling in.
I thought she was just, she mislabeled an email that was supposed to be sent to the superintendent.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Of her apartment complex.
Hey, Birdum, it would have ended with. Mm-hmm. Dave wrote in, and that's awesome, Melissa, thank you. Dave wrote in, says, hi, Scott and Brian. For this weekend of kindness, my wife and I adopted a puppy.
Aww.
We were planning on adopting him before the weekend of kindness, but announced it, or what, but was, I said, kindness was announced, but it just sort of worked out. Does that count? We named him Remy after one of my favorite comic book characters. Nice. Love the show, though, Dave. I think it
presumably
counts.
Presumably Remy LeBeau.
Yes. And you saved an animal from certain death. So you, yes. that counts. Totally counts in the weekend of kindness.
Very good.
Finally, email from JF. This is just kind of a nice email. Hey guys, just like to share a little story of how I received what I think is the best compliment a guy could ever get. My wife and I were recently in a car, and someone yelled fart gas at me. I really
I'm reading along like, boy, he has really gone off
got
the rails.
Off the reservation here. My wife and I recently spent an evening at one of her coworkers' houses, who is a bit older than us. We're 29, she's about 40. Along with the coworker's husband and kids. I had never met the coworker in question, but everything went well. It was a very pleasant evening, super polite kids, great laughs, etc. On the next day, my wife gets an email about how much fun they all had, how the kids loved my wife and all that. What got me right in the feels, screw that up, is that she said if there was is a clone of me somewhere, she wants it for her 17-year-old daughter. My wife and I don't have kids yet, but as family men, you can probably agree that this is the best endorsement a guy can get. Anyway, the point of this story was not to brag about anything, but to share a little something that gets my spirits up whenever I'm down. What's the best compliment you guys have ever gotten? Love the show, though, JF. Ooh. Okay, so it's a great question. I throw it to you, Brian.
Oh, no, not me first.
All right, I'll go first.
You better go first. I can't. Yeah.
Nicest compliment I ever got probably was a dude at NerdTac. So many of these, but I'll just pull one out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pull one out because I don't want to diminish any of the other amazing stuff. But that letter we had at NerdTacular from that guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
About the little kid who's passed mm-hmm. away, but just kind of worshiped what we did, specifically FilmSack, really, really got into mm-hmm. that. And his dream was to come to NerdTacular and to meet us, and we were like heroes to this kid. And what it did is more than just a compliment. It was kind of a humbling moment of like, I need to kind of remind myself occasionally that we have an impact, and it can be a powerful one for certain people in circumstances that are well beyond our comprehension, mm-hmm. and to not ever lose sight of that and to sort of be good stewards of that. Not to get all serious, but I feel like that's an important thing to remember. So that email will always stick with me as kind of a big deal. But many, many, many more like that. Just people coming up and saying, you've changed the way I parent, or you've changed the way I do this or that or the other thing. So pick a hot one, Brian, because you're in the same boat. Millions of them. It's hard to pick one.
I know, and that is the tough thing. I mean, it's people coming up to us at NerdTacular and telling us how, you know, the show makes them smile. That's fine. And then the show makes them laugh, whatever. And then the ones that have the more dramatic stories, it's all on kind of an even keel for me, because I know that that it's just as important for the person who says, you know, I listen to you, I get a laugh when I'm in my car on the way to work, as it is to the person who says, yeah, you know, I was really having a horrible, horrible year. You guys were the thing that got me through it. So it's stuff like that. But for me, it's all just an even playing field, because I know how, you know, they're taking their time to come to NerdTacular, spending the money to come to NerdTacular, mm-hmm. taking the time to come up to us and tell us these things. That's, no matter what the story is, no matter what brought them there,
it just feels so heavy. Like you, the show, like TMS specifically or something, stopped me from committing suicide. People have told me that. Multiple people have told me that.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, that is a huge
piece
of business to carry around on my back a little bit. You know, you have to think about, you know, what are you doing more good in the world than not? And being told that we are doing more good than not, that's... Mm-hmm. That perhaps is the big compliment.
Sure. Yeah. So I don't have a specific example. I apologize, JF, because the best example I can always come up with is going to be the most recent one, because for me, they're all on an even playing field. It means just as much for the person who says that we make him laugh on the subway to the person who has the, you know, the sadder story. It's all good.
We really appreciate all those things, by the way. When you guys tell us these things, it makes us happy. So thanks for the email, JF, and super stoked for you guys, a young couple moving up in the world. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for emails. If you'd like to share your own, either something from your... you don't have to do it just last weekend. You want to do something nice and tell us about it now, that's fine too. But whatever you got to tell us, it's fine. themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. That's what I was going to tell you. Use it and use it often. frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Go check it out. Links to everything are there. You can find us on Facebook @TheMorningStream. And as always, follow us on Twitter. Find Brian at Coverville. Find me at Scott Johnson. And find the show at Morning Stream.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're done. Let's do a song.
Okay. And actually, this is a great example of that very thing. This is a very difficult email. And I applaud Ben, who wrote it, in finding the strength to compose it and send it to us.
All right.
So this is going out to Ben. He says, 2013 was hard. 2014 might be harder. My 12-year-old was just diagnosed with cancer. I'd like to hear a good cover of Making Pies by Patty Griffin. I lose it just about every time I hear that song, and I need to stop and bawl my eyes out for a while before I go back to pretending to be the best dad in the world. Looks like there are plenty to choose from. That's up to you. But the palpable longing and loss of the original, topped off with a simple decision to go on rather than giving up, is a must. Hopefully someone has captured it as well as Patty. Signed, Ben.
4 years old, man.
12. 12 years old.
Oh, I don't care. Still, it's kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't exactly. Do the kids. I think that's so. I don't know how you deal with that. I'm in awe of parents who can. It's the same story as the guy who sent us that letter. Hopefully, this one has a happier ending. But man,
I know
our heart goes out to you, man.
So I found a really good version of a vocalist that I really like, Ellie Goulding. She recorded this live and brought out another really good singer named Lissy to sing it with her. It is Patty Griffin's "Making Pies," a live version. By Ellie Goulding and Lissy. And this is going out to Ben and your whole family, Ben.
Ellie Goulding's awesome. She's great. So let's play it. It's Making Pies. We'll be back tomorrow. Brand new show. Tom Merritt, Nicole Spag, all the regular Wednesday goodness. We'll be right here on display, ready to eat, hot and fresh on TMS. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, chat room. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian. Good times today.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
And we'll see you guys soon. I'll leave you with this.
Now I have a built-in hoo-ha, so I can just suck up the units when I need them.
There you go. Making pies. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Sorry. So this song is called Making Pies. It's no fun, I can walk down the block to table top. Close my eyes, make the pies all day. Plastic cat on my hair, I used to mind, now I don't care. I used to mind, now I don't care, cause I'm great. Did I show you this picture of my nephew taken at his big birthday surprise at my sister's house last Sunday? This is Monday, I'm making pies. I'm making pies. I'm making pies. Thursday nights, I go in tight down the church with Father Mike, and it gets me out, and he ain't hard to like at all.
Jesus stares at me in my chair with his big blue eyes and his honey brown hair. He's looking at me from way up there on the wall. Did I show you this picture of my sweetheart taken of us before the war? Of a Greek and his Italian girl. Sunday at the shore, we tied our ribbons to the fire escape. They were taken by the birds who flew home to the country as the bombs rained on the world. Five a.m., here I am, walking the ball to table talk. You can cry or die or just make pies all day. I'm making pies.
Can you see everyone? The most incredible voice I've heard in a long time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
We got scooters.
We got scooters.